Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And also welcome to Radio Alabama and especially Fox 98.3, coming to you loud and clear out of Sylacauga, Alabama. And good morning, Mark Lassiter.
Good morning, Coach. I hope everybody is well this morning on this beautiful Saturday morning here in Mobile, Alabama.
You know, Mark, as we were talking coming in, there weren't really any surprises last night. I mean, I guess my surprise was just the way Thompson manhandled Hoover last night. I mean, that's a
well, if that doesn't do anything else, it lets something. It kind of lets me know something I have kind of felt for a while now, that there's a changing of the guard
right
in the Birmingham metro area up there, and who in all that surrounding area in 7A. You know, Hoover was so dominant for so long, and Thompson has just kind of bypassed. And if you learn, it's not just football. It's in other sports. You can see
right.
State championships abound up there. And, you know, kudos to that program and what they've done. And I'm not trying to slight Hoover or anything of that nature. I'm just saying that Thompson has just become the team to beat up there.
Well, and you know, that's a credit to the superintendent. Of course, superintendent at one time was here at Sarah Land, moved up to Alabaster to take over the school at Thompson. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're exactly right, because they're good in everything. You know, I think we talked about wrestling at one point in time.
Yes,
boy, they
did.
Just started a wrestling program from scratch, and heck, they're in the hunt for a 7A state title. And that's they're mighty good basketball-wise. They're really good baseball. They've been good. They're going to get better. And it's just boy, it just kind of surprised me a little bit how easy they beat them. And then the other 7A, Adam Weingarten and the Auburn Tigers, just beat Patrick Nix's Central of Phoenix City team, 35-17.
Yeah.
So should be some kind of shootout. Now, we're 2 weeks away from that one. We're going to give you all the scores from last night and all the matchups next Saturday, of course, for the state championships. But we'll give you the matchups for the semifinals in just a few minutes. But right now, let's just go through all the finals from last night's quarterfinal game. In 1A, Linden 35, Sweetwater 6, Brantley 21, Maplesville 19. And tell you what, let's do. Let's just set up what that's going to set up. That's going to set up in 1A. Brantley's going to go to Linden. And in the northern bracket, Barry defeats Brilliant 42-21, and Pickens County defeats Hubbardville 40-24. Now, you know, those of us who are prayer warriors want you to say this kid's name. His name is Jalen Jones. He was airlifted last night from the Pickens County Hubbardville game, and from everything that we've gotten from that time on, is he had movement in all of his extremities. So that's a blessing. That's good. So Jalen Jones is another young man that we put on our prayer list, and he's playing the game he loves, and sometimes we get injured in it, but prospects look good for that young man. In 2A, Abbeville 38, Isabella 20, Leroy 28, Lynette 21, Spring Garden 21, North Sand Mountain 0, and Mars Hill 55, Aliceville 14. So next week, that sets up Abbeville at Leroy and Spring Garden at Mars Hill. In Class 3A, Montgomery Academy beat their little brother in Montgomery. I don't think they'd like that.
No, they wouldn't like it at all.
But Montgomery Academy defeats Trinity Presbyterian 42-14. Mark, no surprise to you, Montgomery Catholic defeats Thomasville 24-15. And here's somebody's pick for a state champion. Fife 26, Ohatchee 7, and Piedmont 38-20 over Sachs. Now, what does that set up? Next Friday night, Montgomery Catholic is at Montgomery Academy, so they're assured in Montgomery of one.
Mm-hmm.
One of those two teams is going to be playing for a state championship, and I'm excited. I get to broadcast that game on the Alabama High School Athletic Association radio network. And then the game that everybody's talking about, It's going
to
be
been wanting to see this one for a while.
Mark, we may just have to load up and watch this.
I'd love to.
That may be something we have to do. Piedmont is at 5, and boy, that will be something. In Class 4A, and we got another matchup coming here too. American Christian, 38, Alabama Christian, 7. Hanley of Roanoke, 35, Bibb County, 21. You folks in Sylacauga might not know this, but let me tell you who laid the foundation for that program at Hanley of Roanoke. One Mike Battles and one Ron Waters, two Sylacauga High School graduates who went to Roanoke and turned that program around at Hanley of Roanoke. And I'm going to tell you, we played them at UMS on 3 different occasions, as well coached football teams as you'll see anywhere. Now, of course, Mike and Ron have retired and it's been passed on down, but great program there at Hanley of Roanoke. Also in 4A, Etowah. That must be the best team in Gadsden now. Mm-hmm. Etowah 49, Northside 14, and Gordo 48, West Limestone 13. So that means in 4A, Hanley goes to Tuscaloosa to play American Christian.
Right.
And Gordo is at Etowah. Now, I don't mean this in any way, but I sure hope Gordo wins that game and American Christian wins their game, because
everybody in Tuscaloosa will be watching that ball game. It's going to be at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And so if those two teams play, they don't like each other.
It's like the Hatfields and McCoys.
They do not like each other. They haven't liked each other for many, many years. And so that would be some kind of a matchup game.
Yep. Sure would.
Yeah.
Boy, you're talking about 5A. You're talking about 4 Hall of Fame football coaches, and 2 of them move on, and 2 of them have to go home. And it just doesn't seem right that these 2 coaches have to go home. But Faith Academy 37, UMS Wright 16, and St. Paul's 27, Central LeClay 13. In the north, Pleasant Grove 35, Alexandria 7, Ramsey 54, Russellville 14. Now that sets up 2 rematches.
Right.
St. Paul's is the only team that's defeated Faith Academy this year. And Ramsey is the only team that's beat Pleasant Grove. So that's going to be 2 great games in the 5A matchup. And what can you say about Steve Mask and Jack French? They just have had a tremendous season, and they get to see who plays for all the marbles next Friday. Kind of hurts me a little bit to see Terry Curtis and Danny Horn go home.
You know, I'll tell you what, man, I remember years back, well, it wasn't that long ago, when UMS went 5A.
Right.
And everybody was like, you know, oh, my goodness, they're not, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And they did it then. They went to the 3rd round back then, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Did.
And, I mean, just did a great job. And Coach Curtis has done that ever since he's been there, all through his coaching career. But since he's been at UMS, right, he's taken that program places nobody thought they'd go. And kudos to Coach and UMS for a fantastic season.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and I want to say something about Todd Morris and Michael Knapp. Great job covering it on the radio last night on the Bulldog Radio Network. And, boy, it was a tough time for those kids. But they laid it on the line. Faith Academy is just a better football team.
They are.
They're just better. And that's, I don't think there's any doubt about that. You beat UMS twice in 1 year.
You're better than they are.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
In 6A, Opelika makes another trip down here. And Coach Speakman, boy, what a good job he's done. Saraland 46, Opelika 27. We're going to talk to Jeff Kelly at 8:30. Spanish Fort 24, Blount 14. That means Saraland will travel to the Hill and play Spanish Fort next week. Pinson Valley 34, Oxford 2. That's something. And I noticed where the McQuistry kid made an unbelievable catch last night. And hopefully we can look at that on YouTube or get that on our website soon. And then Mountain Brook 21, Clay Chalkville 21. I'm so excited for Chris Yeager. He moves down out of that 7A region, gets in 6A. And, boy, what a great job they've done. And then, of course, Auburn defeats Central of Phoenix City 35-17. Thompson defeats Hoover. They'll play on December the 2nd at Bryant-Denny Stadium at 7 o'clock to kick off our Super 7 weekend. And, boy, that's just – and really not a lot of surprises.
No, not a lot of surprises. I'm surprised a couple things. Pinson Valley must be a lot better than I thought they were. to beat an Oxford team like that, that's a pretty sound beating. It looks like it scored on a safety. Only scored.
Yeah.
And so and Pinson Valley put 34 on them. So, man. Yeah, they got a good football team up there. 6A is going to be quite a fight. That state championship game is usually one of the best
ever.
It is
usually one of the best ones. It sure is. All right, we'll be back with more PSR. We're going to touch base with Arthur Mack. We're going to kind of review the cross-country state championships. Then at 8:30, we're going to talk to Jeff Kelly. Then we're going to do some cardiology stuff about 8:45. We're looking forward to that right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks, our good friend Braxton Counts. I was thinking about him with all the election stuff going on. Braxton and Jimmy Duncan, of course, are doing a lot of lobbying, not only in Montgomery but in Washington, D.C. as well. But if you have an issue that's bothering you and you really want to talk to somebody that can give you a heads up or can maybe give you a good word of advice or can speak to somebody in Montgomery – Braxton Counts is the guy you want to talk to, and his phone number is 251-476-9900. And then Jimmy Duncan and Braxton also, man, I was talking to him the other day, Mark. It's amazing the people that they represent. Of course, Braxton's got a lot of connections in Virginia. Of course, he went to school at the University of Virginia and walked on there and ended up getting a football scholarship there. And, man, they have got some amazing business associates that they work with. And so you got some issues that you want to talk about as far as it concerns the legislature. Give our buddy Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900, and he and Jimmy Duncan can help you on the national level as well. So we certainly hope you'll stay in touch with those guys, because they can help you where a lot of other people can't. And Braxton and Duncan, Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan, sure hope that you will consider giving them a call if you have any issues that you don't think you can challenge. I promise you they'll go to bat for you. If they can do anything in the world, they sure will. I can promise you that. All right, let's talk to Arthur Mack. And Arthur's going to kind of give us a wrap-up on the cross-country state meet that was held last week. Good morning, Arthur. How you doing?
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man? Great to be on the program with you today.
Well, we appreciate all that you do covering sport that really I don't know enough about. And being an athletic director, I had to learn a whole lot about track and cross country, Mark, I'm sure, just as you did. And I know that this – of course, it was great for us at UMS Wright. I think Pat Galley was mighty proud of the boys and girls. And but we got some new state champions, and if you'll go over it and give us some of the some of those young people that really stood out, Arthur, because we certainly want to mention them.
Well, let's start with UMS Wright. They got second in the overall in the boys and girls division. Some of the standouts for the boys for UMS Wright were Joseph Perry, who finished second overall in the boys' race, and Matthew Taylor was sixth. And as far as 5A girls, with UMS Wright finishing second in that division, Brenda Ellis finished fifth overall for the Bulldogs, and Carlin Cook finished ninth. So despite UMS Wright moving up a classification from last season, they did manage to bring home some Hartwell, and Pat Galley should be proud of his team for what they were able to accomplish despite being bumped up a classification.
When you look at that, cross country. Where was this meet? Was it still? It's not at Oak. Is it at Oakville?
Yes, that's correct. It was in Oakville at the Oakville Indian Mounds Park.
Right, and that.
Yeah, very scenic course, by the way.
Now, what is the distance that they run for the state meet, Arthur?
3.1 miles, or if you're metrically inclined, 5K.
No, I'm not metrically inclined, but 5K is a little over 3 miles. I do know that. So,
right.
But now, in other parts of the state, give us a rundown of who the state champions were and maybe some of the outstanding competitors.
Okay, well, let's start with 7A boys. Huntsville was clearly the class class team of that particular division. Matter of fact, they pretty much ran away with 7A boys. One of the things about Huntsville, they're ranked number 7 nationally, you know, among, you know, some of the polls, some of the high school polls. And Auburn finished runner-up. But the big surprise was St. Paul's finishing 3rd in that particular division. St. Paul's boys had an outstanding showing. They had a couple of guys making All-State, Matt Conwell and Stone Smith. And the cool thing about that is both of them are only 10th graders. So wow. You'll be hearing a lot more about them in the future.
Well, let me ask you this now. Now, Jim Tate is retiring or already has retired?
He retired. John Brigham, a former St. Paul's runner, has taken over the program, and he's done an excellent job with the group of young men that he has.
Right. Well, and that's a tough act to follow. That is a real tough act to follow.
Indeed it is. In 7A girls, Auburn won with 62 points. They had a very strong showing. St. Paul's finished a very respectable 7th place. So, and they're a very young team. But the big surprise locally in 7A girls was Lindsay Baxter of Baker finishing 2nd overall with a time of 18:35.43. Wow. Lindsay is only a freshman, by the way. I see a very bright future for her.
Wow. Now, 6A.
6A, locally, we did not do too well at all. In fact, one of the reasons why, well, two reasons why we didn't do too well overall in 6A boys was you had Scottsboro and Mountain Brook in that division. Mountain Brook was a 7A powerhouse for quite some time, but they dropped down to 6A. And Scottsboro, which was once 5A, moved up to 6A. And it seems like no matter what division Scottsboro competes in, they're going to always make a fine showing.
Now,
the top 3 teams were Scottsboro, Mountain Brook, and Homewood.
You know, and there was a coaching change a few years ago. The young man who kind of started the track cross-country program at Spanish Fort then went up and joined, I want to say, John Erlinger, maybe at Scottsboro, and took over that program. And so, the reason I asked was I just wondered if Spanish Fort is still as competitive in track cross-country as they were before that young man left to go to Scottsboro.
Well, they only team-wise, they finished 10th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now it's broken down in, if I'm not mistaken, is it broken down into 1A through 5A? And then.
Well, actually, it's 1A, 2A, and then you have 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A, and 7A in separate divisions.
Ooh, okay. So everything's separate except 1A and 2A. They're together.
Right. And speaking of 1A, 2A, here's something that's going to really be an eye opener. Bayshore Christian of Fairhope in its very first year of building a cross-country team, finished 2nd overall in 1A, 2A boys.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Jeff Haig has done a great job there at Bayshore Christian. He really has. He's an old Daphne boy, and he's done a great job. And they won a volleyball championship.
Three of their kids made all state, and they're all underclassmen, 8th and 9th graders.
That's so impressive. That is so impressive. Arthur, you've got all kind of folks calling you. That's probably Sports Illustrated or USA Today or somebody wanting to get some information on you. But
that's probably just a telemarketer.
Well,
but yeah,
or a car warranty.
St. Luke, by the way, finished 4th in a 1A, 2A boy. So
that's great.
Pretty impressive showing for a Mobile area team. In that classification.
That is impressive. That's impressive. Well, Arthur, thank you so much. You always keep us apprised of everything going on in track cross country, and certainly appreciate everything that you do and want to stay in touch with you, pal.
All right, same here. You take care now.
Take care, thanks. Arthur. You know, Mark, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk real about a loss. We lost Carol Cox yesterday. Carol Cox, gosh, I love coaching against Carol Cox because his teams were always so good at a place where it was really, really difficult. It was old Jess Lanier, and Carroll didn't have a amenities to go along with it. Old Sanford boy, Howard College, one of Phil Lazenby's teammates.
Phil, and, yeah. Buddy Anderson, Bob Newton.
Yeah.
Carroll Cox, all those guys were on the same football team together, and that team turned out a bunch of really fine coaches.
And I mean fine people too.
Yeah.
Carroll Cox, one of the fine ones. As a matter of fact, I talked to Carroll. He was over in Smyrna, Georgia, at Campbell High School, and he just kind of – that was his last stop.
Yeah.
And, gosh, what a prince of a fella. We're going to miss Carroll Cox. Just got into the Hall of Fame. The corona didn't get us a chance to get him in. He'll be honored posthumously.
Right.
So very well deserved. Carroll Cox, a great, great man and a wonderful football coach, but an even better man. We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR, Radio Alabama. I'm going to tell you right now, if you rode down, I guess it's 65, and you looked over on that big, beautiful stadium that's out at Sarah Land, and those guys had a great win last night over Opelika, Mark, 46-27, and guy that we just, you know, and I kick myself every year. Don't get this guy on nearly as much as we should. I'll blame Brett out with that. I'll just blame Brett.
Brett for everything.
You know, and that's that doggone it. This guy has done such a remarkable job at Sarah Land, and we get a chance to visit with him for just a minute. They got to go into a meeting and get one of those, I guess he'll get a Burger King biscuit from Salve or something. But, Jeff, congratulations, pal, and you guys you just keep on keeping on, and just another really great win, and heck fire. I don't know what to say. You guys, I mean, Speakman comes down here. They've been giving up 13 points, and you put 46 on the board. Must have been a great night, not only for Carson Green, but for the rest of your offense, pal.
Coach Cleveland, good morning. Coach Laster, I'm glad you guys got my number.
I knew that.
You knew it was coming, didn't you?
I'm beginning to worry. I started to call Coach Bowles and say, hey, are those guys still on or working the show or whatever? So
I deserve that.
Yeah, we deserve that.
Hey, just a little fun this morning. I'm glad to be talking to you on November 21st about football.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's that's always a good thing. Last night was I don't know if I would have drew it up like that or thought the game would turn out like that. You know, Opelika is as talented a team as we've seen all year and very good defensively and have been good and consistent throughout the year. And I've seen our kids grow through the year, through the season. And, you know, you look back the last 5 or 6 weeks, you know, they've been playing at a pretty high clip. And, you know, but last night wasn't any different. You know, they came out and started fast and executed and stayed ahead of the chains and was able to stay balanced. And Carson's really playing some outstanding football. I know there's a lot of good players in the state, but, you know, if there's another quarterback playing as good as he is right now, I'd like to see him. And our defense, I mean, heck, you know, their offensive line is outstanding and their running game is outstanding. And our defense is just playing really hard right now. And, you know, they're really fun to coach. And they get after it. And so gives us a chance to work another week. Got a big game this week over across the bay.
Yeah, that will be a lot of fun. I know that's going to be an exciting ball game. And I know it's always fun, Jeff, you know, when you think about that win last night. And, you know, the coaches have always talked about getting to practice on Thanksgiving Day. And it's always a wonderful time because you know your team has gone a long way when you get to that point. And so you get to that point. And last night, as I look at that ballgame, how y'all did that, you had long drives, you know, 65 yards, 75 yards. I mean, they were long drives. You guys had 450-something yards of offense. And when you have that many drives, means your defense is giving you the ball and you're putting together some stuff offensively. Tell us a little bit about your offensive line. They must have played well last night.
I tell you what, you know, we've got three seniors. We got two senior tackles and a senior center that's been playing in there for a couple years, and got two junior guards that really have sort of matured as the season went. I think the thing that has just been really obvious and telling with that group is, you know, we've played, I guess, 12 games so far, and all five have been able to stay in there and stay healthy and start in the same spot. And so over the course of the year, you know, those guys have just sort of come together and really, you know, gotten on the same page. And Coach Fancher, our O-line coach, has done an outstanding job with those guys. They play extremely hard. They're athletic. They can move. They do a good job in pass protection and screens and some of those kind of things. And the effort that those guys play with kind of fires all our guys up. And they've just been able to sort of grow as the year went and really have been sort of the unsung heroes for us, because we've been able to score a bunch of points this year. I mean, other than the one game, you know, most all our points have been, you know, 30s, 40s, or whatever. And our old line don't get enough credit. And there's some good ones there, without a doubt.
You know, Jeff, talk just a little bit about RPOs. And everybody, you know, you turn on it, and I watch SEC Network all the time and listen to those guys talk about the RPOs. And I even saw Terry Curtis last night had an RPO in that game. And that's unusual, I'm going to tell you. Terry's pretty well grounded in those five or six plays, but he's done put in an RPO in there. And how much of that are you doing, Jeff? Because you're innovative. You've been innovative ever since I've known you. But talk to me a little bit about RPOs. And that's run pass options for those of you that don't.
Yeah, you know, well, your guys have got to be able to do it. I think you got to have the right personnel set, you know, in terms of receivers and, you know, fullbacks, H-back guys. We've got a really a junior fullback guy, you know, number five, Engelbert, C.T. Engelbert, that's very involved in our run game. And, you know, number one, for an RPO to be effective, you got to be able to run the ball.
Yeah.
And if you can't run it, that R of the RPO isn't very effective. And, you know, it allows our quarterback, you know, you got to trust the quarterback to see it. And as a play caller, you know, you can put some of your favorite runs with some of your favorite quick game things. And if your quarterback does a great job, you know, pulling the trigger on it, it keeps you out of bad play calls. It keeps you out of opportunities that you could miss. I mean, there's a lot of times you walk up and you see a corner pressed, and you got a run play on, and you don't throw the fade. Well, you call the fade the next time and he's off. And you know, if you give the quarterback, you give your offense the capability to kind of, you know, take what the defense gives you, it allows you to be a lot more efficient. And you know, we've implemented more and more over the last couple of years. And, you know, I've never, you know, really been a huge fan of it, but it's become a bigger part of our offense, and really a lot of you're starting to see it a lot more often. And it puts the defense in a lot of binds, you know, and there's, you know, a lot of folks are trying to do different things to combat that and play more man coverage. That's really the kind of end-all, be-all to defeat that. And if you got good receivers, you like to see man coverage. And so it allows you to do some fun things offensively, without a doubt.
It really does. Defensively, you know, you have to come up with some sort of scheme, because you can't – like you said, if you can run the ball, then that makes the RPO go. If you can run the ball, your defense, you know, you've got to be able to stop the run. If you can't stop the run, you're going to get beat, period. And so you have to come up with a way to do it.
Right.
And if you can't, and all of a sudden you're throwing a ball on you.
Hey, and the other thing it allows you to do, it allows you to not block people.
Yes.
You know, you get a backside linebacker who, you know, makes a lot of plays, you know, filling and scraping and coming over, you know, from the backside. And a lot of times it's hard to get that guy blocked. And now if you can read him and you know, kind of use his aggressiveness against him, it allows you to do some other types of things. And so it really helps your run game. Some of our better runs are off those things. And there's really not many things that we do in the run game that there's not some kind of pass option off of it. And
that's pretty tough right there.
I'm telling you.
You know, Rick, we played for years when you was coaching at UMS and Mark at Fairhope. I don't know that we've lined up with a tight end all year. You know, we're not having to block as many people, and that helps us out.
I got tickled. Clay and I were talking, and, of course, that's all Clay was a tight end. And he said, Daddy, there wouldn't have been a place for me in high school football. I said, Clay, that found a place
H-back.
For you. I promise you, yeah.
He'd been a great H-back.
But you're right. That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, the thing about it is, of course, Coach Dungan and I could probably sit down and talk to you about this a whole lot, but I want to run that ball. I want to run that ball right at you.
And everybody does.
Yeah. But then when you can pull that doggone thing out of it, like an old belly play, you pull it out and throw it, and there's somebody just running down the sideline. Nobody's not even close to it.
Well, hey, and I tell you this, and you guys know it. Y'all been in ball a long time. If your quarterback ain't pretty special,
yeah,
you know, yeah. It makes the RPO game very average.
It really does.
I bet you have a lot of fun with that. This kid was a heck of a quarterback.
I know.
And let me tell you this. I heard Mike Holmgren say this. Jeff was on that roster, and he taught whoever the starter was. He said Jeff Kelly's the one that taught that kid how to watch film. I'm telling you. And I heard him say that at the Senior Bowl, and I said, my gosh, I know a star. But I know you're having fun with Carson Green doing that, Jeff. I bet that's a lot of fun.
He's a great competitor. You know, he threw an interception on the second drive last night and couldn't throw it, you know, more perfect to the linebacker. I mean, it was right there between the numbers. Just a bad interception to come to the sideline, and I was like, hey, Carson, we don't need to throw it to that guy. He said, Coach, don't worry. We're good. Hey, keep calling.
All right, last thing I got to ask you. Tell me, and we got a minute or so, tell me about back shoulder stuff. You work on that all the time, don't you?
You know, we do. Not a ton, you know, this time of the year, but we have some drills that we do every day in the spring and the summer and really up until about mid-September. And I really think the only way you can work a back shoulder deal is to work it live in one-on-one drills. If you don't have, you know, cornerbacks up there pressing and that kind of stuff, it really, you know, it's sort of defeats the purpose.
Does,
so we
do
that a bunch during the offseason. We do it every day. And we try to get our receivers not to kind of anticipate the back shoulder. If they anticipate it, it doesn't work out.
Right.
And so it's something that we try to work in during the off season, during the summer, do it every day. And, you know, we hit a couple last night. And so that's always a good deal.
All right, buddy. Apologies extended. You're going to be a regular now. I can't stand. I know Bout was going to give me fits anyway. Hey.
You didn't see me the other night, but when you was coaching that middle school basketball game, getting after that referee good, I started to come up here and pull your shirt sale or something.
Hey, we're coming back to your place. After Thanksgiving,
congratulations, Coach!
Congratulations, buddy!
Have a great day.
Take care, Jeff. Boy, he's a good one. Doggone good one. Hey, we'll be back with more Radio Alabama and PSR. Yeah, we got to keep that going right there because, you know, our man, the lady that just. We just feel her presence when we're here. Sheila Lee, she loves that Saturday in the Park, Chicago, and want to make sure that she gets her little part of that part of the show there because she absolutely loves it. She's like on Chicago like we are on – well, like I am on Steely Dan and Boz Skaggs. You know, I guess I've known Amy Cockrell for as long as I've been in Baldwin County – and not known her well enough. We went to church together for a long time, and then because of an unfortunate situation that happened that has become a blessing to so many people, and with the incident that happened with you, Mark, at Bayside, and those precious little elementary school students doing what they did, and then Coach Lazenby doing what he did, and then the Encore trainer they are the best trainers. I'm telling you, the Encore people are rock solid. But you know, because of the blessing that occurred, we've had the opportunity to kind of get back with Amy Cockrell, and what an amazing lady she is. And Mark, let me tell you, she's always been an amazing lady. I was talking to Lee the other day on the phone about some things about our kids, and she said, "Rick, you, Amy Cockrell, that's the woman she's been for years and years and years, and you were too busy coaching football to realize it." But Mark, this relationship between you and Amy and the doctors, it's going to save a lot of kids' lives. And we want to be on her team and your team here at PSR. That's of utmost importance to us. And I hope Amy knows that.
I think she does. And, Amy, we're so glad to have you with us this morning. And we just want you – first of all, I guess, Amy, so you can do some talking here instead of us. Tell us, so maybe some new listeners don't really know a lot about Heart for Athletes and what you're all about. Give them a kind of a synopsis of what, you, how you got started and what you're doing, and we're so glad you're with us this morning.
Thank you so much. It's good to talk to you guys this morning. So our mission with Heart for Athletes is to prevent sudden cardiac arrest in youth, and this became a passion of mine in 2013 when my very outwardly appearing healthy son had unexpectedly suffered and survived a sudden cardiac arrest. And through that, we just realized how often this happens to the youth in our community, and we want to prevent this from happening. And as Coach Cleveland just mentioned, when we make our community safer for the youth and teach people how to respond appropriately with CPR and AED use, we also make it safer for everybody in the community so lives like Coach Lassner's can be saved.
You know, I was so fortunate that our school had everything set there at Bayside, and you know, I think so many times about that, about where I was and how fortunate I was. But yet, your group is trying to get this message out all across, especially Baldwin and Mobile County, and across the state of Alabama. Kind of tell us what some of the things y'all got going on and what you're doing to spread it. I know COVID's kind of restricted y'all a little bit over the last several months, but kind of tell us what you guys are trying to do to spread the awareness of cardiac arrest, sudden cardiac arrest for kids.
Yes, so our mission, through our mission, we've always emphasized three different areas: screenings, education, and research. And unfortunately, COVID has dampened our large-scale efforts for screenings in 2020, but we've also made some pretty neat partnerships through this year, and we have available to parents if they call us on an individual basis through Clears Clinic in Daphne. They can do heart screenings there on behalf of Heart for Athletes. And we can also handle small sports teams if they wanted to come in and coordinate a heart screening event. We could do that through Clears Clinic if anybody wanted to contact me. But even though the screenings have been dampened a little bit this year, we've had a lot going on in the background. In the research area, we are happy to be a part of a very important pilot study through Duke University. And Heart for Athletes is just one of a handful of organizations throughout the United States that's a part of this. And the principal investigator at Duke is putting together a warehouse of screening data to better study and understand and predict the incidence of sudden cardiac arrest in youth. So we're very excited to be a part of that. And like I said, a lot of the background stuff is going on right now to get that in place so that when we do screenings on a large scale basis, that groundwork will be set. We'll be able to hit the ground running. So as far as education goes, we've worked a lot this year with schools to make sure they're prepared, just like sports teams have to practice their drills. You know, I'm passionate about the belief that we have to practice our emergency response drills to cardiac emergencies so that we know how to respond when someone witnesses a cardiac arrest and they know how to use the AED equipment, the automated external defibrillators. We have to make sure that people know where they are in the communities and know what to do with them and use proper CPR techniques, because for every minute that passes after someone suffers a sudden cardiac arrest, their chance of survival decreases by 10%. So we can't wait for emergency personnel to arrive. The people who are there, the bystanders who witness a sudden cardiac arrest, are literally a person's bridge to life, and the appropriate response has to be taken immediately.
Boy, I mean, that is such good stuff.
It's
something that we've got to incorporate into every school system everywhere. I mean, it's just something, and because we never know when it's going to happen. And I have an attorney friend who is a dear friend of mine, and trying to, you know, to work out the details of getting put in their office, because, you know, when they have these big these meetings between differing attorneys, and they're having some litigation going on and remediation, and it's just a place where we need all of these AEDs, and what you folks are doing. It makes me tremble to think what a great job you folks are doing at Hearts for Athletes. And thank you so much for allowing us to be part of you and your team.
Thank you, guys. It's been great this year to be able to partner with places like the Mobile Airport, Port City Pacers, Hargrove. We've been able to put AEDs in places like this to make the community safer as a whole. And so it's just so important for us to be able to get into the high schools. And not only do we do screening events, but we also, at those screening events, all the kids are introduced to a CPR demonstration just so they can see how easy it is to do CPR and, again, be that bridge to life and identify a sudden cardiac arrest if they witness it.
Thanks a bunch, Amy.
Take care, Amy. Take care, daughter.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama.
Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labonte.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama. You know, Premier Collision is a locally owned auto repair shop here in Mobile, Alabama, that's been serving our customers since 1996. We can take care of all of your auto body repair needs, including painting, bodywork, towing, roadside assistance, pickup, delivery, and more. Most insurance are accepted. And if you get into an auto accident in the Mobile County, Baldwin County, Gulf Coast areas, the last thing you need to worry about is deciding which collision repair company to call. Now, I've known Chris Garrish for a lot of years, and Chris and Premier Collision, they make your auto collision repair experience stress-free, and they provide a lifetime warranty on all repairs, whether you need a minor dent repair or auto paint services or full auto collision repair. The professionals at Premier Collision are trained to the highest level and ready to turn your car to factory conditions. That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive. And you can count on those guys making sure that your car is in factory conditions when it's returned to you. You know, I was thinking a little bit about Carol Cox during the break, and one thing that I'll always remember about Carol Cox, big fella, big tall gangy fella, didn't matter win, lose or draw, he'd come up to you and give you a big old hug after the game. Great game. I used to always kid him. I said, I still can't find that football when y'all got it on offense. I don't know what they put on those footballs. That was the darkest football, and they'd wear those purple jerseys.
Purple jerseys, you couldn't see it.
You couldn't see it running the wishbone. Our kids would come off at Prattville. Well, I can remember time and time again. They'd come off the field because we can't find the ball. He ought to patented that. Whatever it was, he should have patented it.
And he did. You know, he did a great job up there at Just Lanier. They had – I remember watching him on. I don't think when I was with Coach Sav at Ben Russell, I don't think we ever played him that I can remember. I'm trying to think. Right. I can't remember. But I did see him on film because I think they played some people we played. And I remember looking at their offensive line and thinking,
huge.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. They went from hash mark to hash mark. And they had big splits.
Yeah.
And I mean, tell you what, then they came off the ball and they could run that wishbone.
Man.
And then it was bad enough defending the option. But when they wanted to go power, that's when it really got kind of testy, because they could they brought some people to the point of attack.
Well, they'd go those wide splits initially, and then they'd go foot to foot.
Foot to foot, and just bang
it. Here we come. And, you know, you just stop me, and that was tough. Some great teams. We're going to miss Carroll Cox. Going to miss him a bunch. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go through these playoff scores. And my buddy Hayes Harris, who's a dead-gum good little old defensive back for us over at UMS, says, not a good night for our Bulldogs, but it's a great night for Mobile because we got a lot of teams that are still looking for a blue trophy. Let's go through these. Linden, 35. Sweetwater, 6, going through 1A. Brantley, 21. Maplesville, 19. And Brantley goes to 12, 13-0, as does Linden. That's two. And somebody's going to lose one next week because they play each other. Berry, 42. Brilliant, 21. Pickens County, 40. Hubbardville, 24. In 2A, Abbeville, 38. Isabella, 20. Leroy, 28. Lynette, 21. I can't help but think about our some of our folks up there around the Leroy area that Eddie, one of our coaches over at UMS. Eddie's a big Leroy guy and loves those people up there. And congratulations to all the folks around Leroy. 28-21 win over a good, doggone good Lynette team. Spring Garden, 21. North Sand Mountain, 0. Mars Hill, watch out for this team now. Mars Hill's pretty doggone good. Mars Hill, 55. Aliceville, 14. They'll play Spring Garden next week. In 3A, Montgomery Academy, 42. Trinity, 14. Montgomery Catholic, 24. Thomasville, 15. Fife, 26. Ohatchee, 7. Piedmont, 38. Sachs, 20. Now, that sets up, Mark, a classic, classic battle between Piedmont and Fife.
It does.
That should be.
That'd be a fun game to watch.
And then the other side of that bracket is Montgomery Academy playing Montgomery Catholic. And I think that's going to be played at Montgomery Academy. And we'll look
it
at
is.
That. Yes, that should be something. In 4A, no UMS right. So there's going to be a new champion in 4A. American Christian, 38. Alabama Christian, 7. Hanley, 35. Bibb County, 21. Etowah, 49. Northside, 14. Gordo, 48. West Limestone, 13. And I can tell you this, I think if UMS was still in 4A, they'd win it again this year. I do. I just think Terry had that good of a football team and tradition, and I think it us moving up because of competitive balance and really the numbers, we had to move up this year anyway. But there will be a new one in 4A, and I'm looking for American Christian and Gordo to play, and that should be some kind of classic battle. In 5A, Faith Academy, 37, UMS Wright, 16, St. Paul's, 27, Central LeClay, 13, Pleasant Grove, 35, Alexandria, 7, Ramsey, 54, Pleasant Grove, 35. Now, that sets up a kind of an all-Mobile Birmingham 5A state championship. Some shape, form, or fashion, there'll be somebody from from Mobile in the 5A championship and somebody from the Birmingham area in the 5A championship. In 6A, Sierra Land, 46, Opelika, 27, Spanish Fort, 24, Blount, 14, Pinson Valley, 34, Oxford, 2. I bet that may be one of the lowest scores that a Keith Etheridge team has ever had. Keith,
no doubt.
He's, of course, defending state champion, and those guys, Pinson Valley's for real. They keep Keith Etheridge's football team from scoring a touchdown. They're pretty doggone good. And I couldn't be happier for our buddy Chris Yeager up at Mountain Brook 21, Clay Chalkville 10. They got a mountain to climb next week, though, as they play Pinson Valley. And then the 7A state championship game is in the books as to who will be playing. Adam Weingarten's Auburn Tigers, former Fairhope High School head football coach, now the head coach at Auburn High School. Auburn defeats Central to Phoenix City. Patrick Nix and his Phoenix City team, 35-17. And Mark Freeman, man, what a football powerhouse they have become. 12-0, go to 13-0. They have literally taken the air out of Hoover's sails, so to speak. They beat Hoover 52-14. Now, in the private schools, in the Alabama Independent School Association, in Class 1A, Crenshaw Christian, 40, Abbeville Christian, 20. Wayne Grant wins his sixth. Now, I thought it was his fifth, but Mark told me it was his sixth. But I know he won 4 state championships at Pike County, and he wins his first one at Crenshaw Academy. maybe that may be his second one, but I know he's won either five or six state championships. Congratulations to Wayne Grant. In Class 2A, Chambers Academy 36, Escambia Academy 34, and in Class 3A, Pike Liberal Arts 38, Glenwood 21. Mark, you were head coach in Childersburg, and there was a great high school quarterback that played at Childersburg and went on and played at Howard College, and he was a quarterback at both places. You will never remember this name, but I promise you people in Childersburg will remember it. Johnny Shoemaker. Johnny Shoemaker was the head coach at Glenwood Academy for a long, long time there in Phoenix City, and I don't know if Johnny's still with us, but, boy, what a wonderful man he was. A great baseball player as well, but just an amazing football coach there at Glenwood. Just I think about Johnny every time I hear that at Glenwood.
You know what was kind of funny as I look at this stuff, Rick? I was looking at all the teams that played last night. And what's really kind of amazing to me, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, in Class 3A, you have Montgomery Catholic, Montgomery Academy, and Trinity, all in the South, 3A deal. All right. From all private schools in Montgomery, all playing for it, and all good football teams and well-coached, each right. one of them. But I don't see any of the Montgomery public schools. No. Doing it, and I think they've been struggling, and I don't really know why. You know, because I know they've got great athletes that go through there.
Well, Leah Montgomery was their last hope. But yes. It's been tough. It's been tough. You're right. I don't know what's going on.
You know,
there.
Pike Road had a really good team. They came down and played UMS last week. It's just you just don't see them much anymore in the playoffs like you used to. I mean, not deep in the playoffs. You see them in the early round, but we don't see them deep in the playoffs.
Well, for so long, Spence and Jimmy Perry at Lee were so good. And before that, Billy Livens and Jeff Davis with Rick Rhodes and those guys were so good. Those two kind of more or less dominated. Sidney Lanier and Carver were average, but not as good as Lee and Jeff Davis. So you're right. They're all it's the flight into the private schools right. in Montgomery. You're exactly right. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
He came from somewhere back in how long ago. You know, I love it when I say this, because you always preempt me by saying, and you're going to be there. Well, I dadgum sure am. I'm not going to miss the Doobie Brothers final tour, whether it's in New Orleans or Nashville. I'm going to be sitting there. Even if I have to be social distanced, I'm going to be there for that final show with Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers. You know, we talked a little bit earlier, a couple of times, about Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan. And most of us here in Mobile know Braxton, but Jimmy Duncan is a 30-year congressman, and Braxton and Jimmy can help anyone with government affairs. Both Jimmy and Braxton have great influence in Montgomery and in Washington, D.C., so many people rely on either the state or federal government for their businesses. And Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people. So if you need or you find yourself in need of working with Montgomery or Washington, D.C., contact Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. And I was talking to Braxton the other day, and he said, "Coach, I'm gonna be up in the in the Virginia area, and one of his clients is the Charlottesville Albemarle Airport in D.C. And that's got connections all over. And we always, at some point in time in our life, we need some help, either in our state capital or our nation's capital." And Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan are the guys that you want to get in touch with, and that's pretty neat stuff. We're glad to have them on board with us. You know, Mark, one of our buddies has decided to step down over at Houston Academy. Jamie Riggs has had 3 years there, and he's kind of got that program on good footing now, and his buddy Eddie Brundage is going to take over, and I guess you know more about this than I do. Of course, I guess Jamie will go back home to Bruton.
Right.
And you said I don't think he ever sold his home, and
he didn't.
So he'll go back to Bruton, and I don't think he's finished. Jamie's got it in him. It's all over him. He's a football coach.
He is, and he's I don't know what Jamie's going to do. I know he's had told Phil Lazenby that this could be his last year, and he's going to finish up, I think, with 316 wins.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But he'll be involved somehow, some way in football. I guarantee you he'll be working for the Alabama Football Coaches Association, which is an organization that helps promote Alabama high school football throughout the state. And I'm sure he's already involved with it, and I'm sure he'll take a bigger role, I'm guessing. I didn't even talk to Jamie. I'm just – throwing things off the cuff. He stepped down, and I read the article on him, said he had some personal things he wanted to get straightened out, and
right.
Whatever those may be, and we'll pray for him on that. And it could be that he's just decided, I'm a little tired right now. I think I'm going to take a break from it and step away a little bit, and maybe what he's doing. But, doesn't really matter. He deserves to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He's given his life to children throughout this state of Alabama,
right.
Especially in Bruton, Alabama. And, and what he did there at Bruton is unbelievable.
It is.
And so whenever, whatever Jamie Riggs wants to do, I'm right there for him. That's just me.
First time I ever met Jamie Riggs, he was a tennis coach at Op High School. He was coaching tennis there, and we met at Huntington College and played a tennis match between I want to say it was our Northview tennis team. I don't know who it was. I don't know where it was, but we bet there. And boy, he's so easy to get along with. And what a guy, what a man, what a great model for your children to be able to play for. I mean, it is something special. Now, his son is also coaching, if I'm not mistaken.
He is, and I've kind of lost track. I don't know. He was at Leeds.
Yeah, with Keith.
And I don't know if he's still at Leeds or where he is right now. I've kind of lost track. Michael's his
Michael.
Name.
Michael, yeah.
And I've just kind of lost track of him. I saw him last January at the football convention in Montgomery. But I haven't talked to him or seen him since then, so I don't know if he's still there.
He was really, really, really proficient with all the
high tech
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so good at that. So I'm sure somebody's got him.
Absolutely,
yeah, working.
He's coaching somewhere.
Yeah.
And but he does. Michael is so good at that stuff that he was doing a lot of that for the Alabama Football Coaches Association.
Right.
Handling. I think he still handles their photography.
Right.
And he can do just about anything. Boy, that young man is very, very talented, very, very smart. And so I know somebody's got him working somewhere.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he with Wes Latham and those guys at Foley for a year or two? Was he there? I'll have to ask Wes.
I don't know. I can't remember.
For some reason, I thought he was.
He might have been.
When Todd Watson was there.
And he might have been.
May have been there for a while. Hey, want to mention something that's near and dear to our heart here at PSR, and it's called Rooted and Grounded. They're not just a coffee house with prayer, but a prayer encounter house that sells coffee. Let's gather, pray, and encounter the Living Father together. We have a prayer room that people can call and reserve for your prayer group, Bible study, work meeting, or anything that you need it for. So we're excited about Rooted and Grounded, and they are some of my favorite people. You just want to check them out. They're over on Dolphin Street at 2754 Dolphin Street. Give them a phone call at 251-408-9210. Just great, great people. And so if you want to get a business meeting and you want to go in and just have a wonderful meeting, go into Rooted and Grounded at 2754 Dolphin Street. And I promise you, if you'll go one time, you'll go back time and time and time again. Rooted and Grounded. Got to congratulate Steve Mask, even though he's in that meeting with Steve right now. I know all the folks at St. Paul's are mighty proud of him. He had his 100th win at St. Paul's last night, but his 200th win as a head coach.
I knew Steve. I didn't know him personally, but I kind of watched what he did when he was at Colbert County.
Right.
And, I mean, just year in and year in. That's back up – back in those days, it was Colbert County, Hazelwood, and who else was up there? There's one other school up there. That I mean, those three schools in that area.
That's not Russellville.
No, it was another small school.
Colbert County's in Layton, isn't it?
Yes,
Alabama.
Yes. Yeah. But that little area up there, the state at one time when the Goods were playing at Hazelwood, all them. He was at Colbert County during that time, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And Colbert County was as tough as anybody around, and would play anybody. Play anybody at that time, and that's back. I think we only had four classifications, and but he did a great job there, and he's come here to St. Paul's and just worked for Jimmy. For a while, and then when Jimmy left, he just kind of stepped in and kept that program going in the direction Jimmy had it going in, and he's put his stamp on it where it's his program, and he's done a really fine job.
Well, Colbert County, pretty good school. A little guy named Thad Flanagan was a receiver there, but a big guy named Ozzie Newsome, who's in the National Football Hall of Fame. And
now, isn't that where Steve's son is? Is his son coaching? Is he the head coach there?
That's a good question. I'm not sure where he's coaching.
I know he's up north, Alabama somewhere.
He's at a 2A, 3A school, if I'm not mistaken. But Steve's mighty proud of him. He's done a great job.
Yeah.
I know that. I certainly know that. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at Vestavia, to see who gets that job that Buddy Anderson just stepped down. And, you know, it would kind of surprise me if they didn't stay in-house. But –
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what's going on up there, but here's the deal. Nobody wants to follow Buddy Anderson.
No, that's true.
I mean, when you're like, it's like, who wanted to follow Bear Bryant? Who wants to follow Nick Saban? Who wanted to follow Shug Jordan?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to follow those people. They don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to follow success. Those guys, I mean, because you have no chance of being a winner.
Right.
If you go in there and you win, well, you won on his athletes and his program. If you lose, well, you're not him. You know, so it's kind of it's a tough deal to do, but they offer enough money.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, then
there'll be people.
I tell you what, I can come do it for that kind of money.
Yeah.
So you might find some, but it just depends on what Vestavia wants to do. I mean, they've got good coaches all around that area. They'll find the right one. They're never going to find another Buddy Anderson.
No.
But they'll find and Vestavia needs to get ready for that.
That's right.
It's
going to be a culture change.
It's going to be a culture change no matter how you do it.
It is that. It's kind of like Waldron Tucker.
Yes.
When he left Fayette, and it went through four or five coaches. Even his son was one. Went through it all.
Quail hunting.
That's right. Paul Benefield. Who's going to follow him? That's right.
Oh, God. Nobody.
Hey, we'll be back with more PSR. Hey, there's going to be some movement in big school, high school football. And I'm thinking two coaches that are very well known may be moving around before the clock ticks 12. We'll be back with more PSR and radio.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
I remember the 35 sweet goodbyes.
All right, let's do this real quick. Let's give you the semifinal matchups next week. And let me tell you something. There are some head knockers in this in these semifinals. I'm gonna tell you. I kind of wish I had a plane. I could fly and watch one half at one place, another at another.
I wish we could have one of those boards.
Yeah.
You know, if we could get it. I don't mean to bring this up. If we had them on TV.
Yep.
And you could have all five games on a thing. You could.
Now you're gonna get Jim Cox fired.
I know. I read his little thing on Facebook the other day too. Sorry about that, Jim.
Oh,
I don't mean to get you cranked up.
He went on Facebook. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a little something to say about it.
Oh my goodness. My goodness.
He wasn't ugly. He was just saying, "Sure wish we could be calling this game. My booth's dark."
Yeah, I understand. I do understand. In Class 1A, Brantley will go 13-0. Two 13-0 teams are going to play here in 1A in this one semifinal. Brantley 13-0 at Linden. Let me tell you something. That is
a tough place to go play.
I mean it. That's going to be some kind of – that's going to be something.
Good ball
that's
game.
That's going to be something. Brantley, I guess that's – if I'm not mistaken – that's Chuck Persons and
Wesley's.
Wesley Persons.
That's their home.
That's their home. That's exactly right. And one of our former associate directors at the Alabama High School Athletic Association And one of my former teammates was the head basketball coach there for a long time. And the other, in the top half of the bracket, Pickens County at Berry. And, of course, we certainly want to remember and pray for a young defensive back from Pickens County who was air flighted out of the football game last night. Jalen Jones was airlifted. And from everything that all reports that I got early this morning, he had movement in all of his extremities, so that's a good report. In Class 2A, Abbeville at Leroy. That's going to be something. Who's your best player that ever came out of Abbeville that played at Alabama?
I don't know.
You do know.
I don't.
You do know Leroy Cook. You do know that defensive end, Leroy Cook, from Abbeville. And Leroy, there's been a bunch of them come out of there at Leroy. Our buddy Bobby Farish, I can promise you.
Hey, Rick, you got to give me a break on something. I've got, you know, there was a time in my life from 1965 to 1976 where we left Alabama and we lived in Texas and Missouri.
I keep forgetting how young you are.
And I was gone all that time and then came back in 76 to Alabama, and that's when I started trying to catch back
up. Well, Leroy Cook played.
He
was there from about 73 to 75.
I remember his name. Yeah, Leroy,
good defensive end,
yes,
I tell you
that.
Abbeville at Leroy in one semifinal and Spring Garden at Morris Hill. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think Morris Hill is going to be in a state championship game, and I'm blessed that I get a chance to call that game. And I don't—I might need you to be in my ear because they run the wing tee to perfection. So that's pretty doggone good.
Yeah, they do a really good job with it up there. Yep. They really do. I don't know anything about Spring Garden.
Don't either.
I know that's up on Sand Mountain, isn't it?
Yeah, they used to be really, really good in basketball. Yep. I can tell you that. They've won numerous state basketball championships, in boys and girls. So then we go to Class 3A, and this is Montgomery, those private schools in Montgomery are just dominating high school football up there. Montgomery Catholic goes over to Montgomery Academy. Montgomery Academy is 13-0, and if I'm not mistaken, I think that they beat them earlier in the year.
I think they beat them earlier in the year. I do.
And then the game that I think that everybody would want to see, and this should be some kind of football
game. That'd be fun.
Piedmont at Fife. I'm telling you.
Those two coaches going to get after it. I mean, and they're about as good as they get. They have their style of doing things, and it's going to be the way they do it. And their communities love them, and it's just fun. That's fun to watch those two teams play.
You know, Sundays, they ain't a whole lot that they got to do when they come in Sundays. They're going to do
what
they
do.
And, you know, whatever the other one does, do it. But we're going to do what we do.
That's right.
And that's, so Piedmont will go to Fife, and that'll be something. Fife 13-0 as well. In Class 4A, Hanley of Roanoke at American Christian. And that's going to be a tough one. That'll be at Bryant-Denny Stadium, I'm sure. And that should be some kind of football game. We're pulling for, you know, we try not to pull. We just want to see great games. But Gordo is at Etowah. And I guess, you know, since they merged those three schools in Gadsden, Etowah has kind of become the boy dog up there.
And I've got brain lock. There's a kid who played at Benjamin Russell who is the head coach there at Etowah, and I cannot think of his name to save my life.
We'll come up with him. We'll come up with him here. We'll get him in a second. But we're pulling for Gordo and American Christian to win those semifinals. Because
that'll make one heck of a final.
That'll make one heck of a final, I can tell you that. And then in Class 5A, what two semifinal games we've got here. Jack French's Faith Academy travels over to Steve Mass St. Paul's, and that is going to be some kind of football game. And then in the north, Pleasant Grove goes to Ramsey, and Ramsey handed Pleasant Grove one of their only losses this year, and Ramsey is 12-0, just like St. Paul's is 13-0. That should be some kind of – boy, the 5A is – boy, that should be some two great games in 5A. And then we move to 6A. There's going to be a team from the Mobile Baldwin County area in the 6A finals because Jeff Kelly, and who we heard on here earlier today, they're going to go over to the Hill and play Spanish Fort. And what a job Ben Blackman has done over there, just continuing to build that program. Each coach that comes in there seems just to make it just a little bit better, a little bit better. And, boy, that should be something over on the Hill. Then Mountain Brook, our buddy Chris Yeager up at Mountain Brook, they've dropped down from 7A, got out of that tough region that they were in up there with Hoover and all those guys. And now Chris Yeager and his Mountain Brook Spartans have moved down into 6A, but they face a monumental task this week as they go to Pinson Valley. And then in 7A, Adam Weingarten, former head football coach at Fairhope High School, and his Auburn Tigers are going to meet the dominant football team in Alabama right now, the Thompson Warriors. Mark Freeman they've created a monster over there at Thompson, and they're just beating the pants off everybody. But Thompson 13-0 goes against Auburn 11-1 on Wednesday night, December the 2nd at Bryant Denny Stadium, 7 p.m. You can catch that on in every TV market except Mobile. Every market except Mobile. And our buddy Jim Cox, I know it tears him up, and I a lot of that I agree with. We got to get on board and get this thing televised all over the state of Alabama. And,
Rick, I wanted to tell you something about that 7A game. You know, both of those head coaches are men of faith.
Absolutely,
both of them are, yep. And both of them have their own style of way they do things. But I will want to say, I don't think we talk a lot about Adam Weingarten. What a great job he did at Fairhope when he came here, and just did a fantastic job. But I have learned over the last several years since I met Adam when he came to Fairhope and then he went to Auburn, is that he has a program that he actually teaches that is about developing the whole program, developing the whole player, the whole coach, about development of the people from within, leadership skills, how to be a good teammate, how to live your life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he builds, and he starts it with a senior trip they take every summer. It's a team. I don't know if they were able to do it last year because of COVID, but in the past they have taken this and gone somewhere where they go, just the seniors and the coaching staff, and they go spend a weekend somewhere where it's kind of rough, and they have to do things where they rely on one another and help one another, and there's always time for meditation, and there's some time for some discussion about who they are.
Right.
And so Adam has a kind of a unique perspective of how he's actually got this program, which he wants to go tell and talk to other – he talked to the high school athletic association. He had a conference.
Right.
I think it was last summer. If I'm not mistaken, that's where I first saw it. He has an entire a PowerPoint on it about what they do and what they believe in. And it's pretty inspirational to hear him, what he talks to those kids and his coaches about.
Adam Weingarten is a motivator, and not just for kids. He motivates adults, and he could probably make a pretty good living as a motivational speaker. I can tell you that. He's Kenny King's doing a lot of the similar things at Daphne. That's another thing that Kenny's doing at Daphne, and that's who I think's just done an outstanding job over there. And so excited about that. But that's good stuff about Adam Weingarten.
Ryan Locke is the head coach at Etowah.
And he played for
I don't think he – I think I had already left, but he played for Coach Lazenby at Benjamin. I'm pretty sure that's right. And this is his first year there.
Right.
And he's got him in the semifinals. What a great thing for Etowah. Etowah hadn't been in the semifinals. Well, I remember what was the last great team we saw Etowah have? Who was the running back?
Carnell Williams.
Man, was he a player. Yeah, yeah. Who'd they play in the finals? Remember? When Carnell was, I think he was a senior.
Who was on the other team?
Jamarcus Russell. He was the quarterback for Williams.
Williams.
Man, it was a great game.
Yeah, it had to be a great game. Yes, sir. Man, that's good stuff, Mark. You're throwing some history at us this morning. I do want to mention, I got about four texts that said, Coach, thanks for mentioning last week that Papa's over in Daphne, great little Italian restaurant, has reopened. And Fred owns Giannino's, our pizza sponsor on here. And he owns Papa's. And Papa's place tonight, take your wife over to Papa's, BYOB, and boy, what a great place it is. I stop in there a lot, and the best prices, I'm telling you, it's just a great place. That's Papa's right there on the main highway going in from Daphne to Fairhope. I guess that's 98. Papa's has reopened, and they're good. you get a chance to go in there and see Fred and the folks at Papa's. If you want some pizza, go to Janino's. But we certainly appreciate everything that Fred has
done. And if you
done.
Need some feed and seed,
oh man,
head out to Fairhope.
Absolutely.
Go to Old Time Feed, see our buddy Cecil Christenberry, and go around back. There's a Laster kid back there out there working today. He'll throw you some pine straw in your truck. And,
That's good stuff.
We just appreciate Cecil and all you do for Baldwin County over there. And what the man he is. He's talk about a fine one.
Yeah, he has a servant's heart.
He does.
He does. Great guy, Cecil Christenberry. We appreciate everything that he does for us here at PSR. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Radio Alabama and FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, when you go to any of y'all who've ever been to Camp Grace, you drive through the gateway there, so it's kind of a wooden, I don't know what you call it, but it has Camp Grace and you ride underneath it. And it's just something like every time I've been into that, I've gone through there, it feels like, man, you just kind of get a feeling of peace. You know, every time I've been there, it's been that way every time I've been to Camp Grace. I remember there was also a place I used to go to with some friends of mine to St. Joseph Monastery over in Louisiana, and you drive onto that place. It was the same kind of feeling. And I talked to one of the bishops there, and there's a group of monks that live on that campus, and he said these monks, what they do is they wake up and they pray. And they pray just about all day long for everybody who's on the grounds and not on the grounds. And it's like it's crazy how that feels. But, you know, and I was thinking about when I hear that, I always think about what a great feeling that is to know somebody's praying for you. Because, you know, as we watch football season come to an end, we watch volleyball seasons come to an end, cross countries come to an end. We talk about this every end of the season about where we are. But I'm going to take a different spin on it this morning, because most of the teams that do not get to where they are today or get to the state championship leave with a disappointment.
Yeah.
And sometimes earlier than they expected. Sometimes they don't even make the playoffs. Your season comes to an end, and what does the coaches always tell? Our coaches are great, I think, in saying, okay, we got to get back in a weight room and get back to work. We got to get back to basics. We got to get back down to getting bigger, faster, stronger to make our team. Everybody's got to get in here and sweat together and work together and get better individually so we can be better as a team. So as I thought about that, I was thinking, you know, we've started that base out. We got beat earlier than we wanted to get beat. We wanted to play further. And so Coach Stapes got him working in the weight room. I hear him in there every day. You got to work. You got to be committed. You got to do your job. You got to do this. And that's what it's about. And I hope that we are able to teach through that becomes something that myself, I say this all the time, y'all. It's what I can only do for me. I can't do it for Rick. I can't do it for anybody else. I can only do it for me. What do I do at the end of the season? What do I do at the end of the day? What do I do at the end of the week? What has transpired? Do I need to get back in that weight room and get to work? And that weight room for me might be, do I need to get on my knees and say a little prayer tonight? Do I need to wake up and thank God that I woke up this morning? And what am I going to do today? What's my day going to be like? And folks, you know, as you look back through your life, I remember in the movie Shawshank Redemption, Morgan Freeman, they had him up for the parole board. Y'all have never seen it, won't understand this, but if you've seen it, they have him before the parole board, and they ask him, you know, what have you learned or what have you, and do you regret things? He goes, regret? He goes, I wish I could go back 30-something years and find that 19, 20-year-old version of myself and tell that stupid kid how stupid he is behaving. Don't do that stupid thing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to go back. I mean, and Rick, how many times have you and I said, gosh, if I could just go back. I wish I could get, you know, you wish when you get to this point in your life, you could look and, or you could wish, you say, well, I wish when I was 18 that I knew what I know now at 61.
Yeah.
I would not make the same decisions I made coming through.
Yeah.
But that's not the way life works. Life works because God gave us free will to do what we think we ought to do. The key point is, do we trust in Him to help us make that decision?
Yeah.
Do we look for His will in our will? Do we find that? Do we look for it? When we have a bad series, like you can have bad series of your life. I've had it.
Ooh.
I've gone through a period of my life where I didn't like me very much.
Yeah.
And I got to stop and regroup and get back in the weight room and start doing what I was meant to do all along.
Yeah.
You know? And to do that, you have to come to grips with some things. First of all, that you're not the master of the universe.
Right.
Everybody doesn't wake up every morning and think about, I wonder what Mark Lester's doing this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares, you know. Only person that cares about what Mark Lester needs to be doing is me and what I'm going to do today. And how and do, can I look back and say, boy, I did a bad job on this part of my life. I got to straighten it out. And the only way I can't go back and redo it. It's done. What can I do? I can do it every day that I wake up. Every day that I put my foot in front of the other, every step that I take, do I do it in the right way? And sometimes I don't. But I still got to get on my knees and say, did I do something wrong today? And if I did, I got to make amends for it.
Wow. That is off. Young Scott Peck wrote a book that we've mentioned on here before. It's called The Road Less Traveled. I want you to read that book because it is a blessing in my life. Because I've wanted to turn back the pages of time a lot of times, just like you talked about. But in Scott Peck's The Road Less Traveled, the first sentence is, life is difficult. And how much more difficult do we make it on our own? When and he tries to teach us in The Road Less Traveled that if we will trust and obey, as the song says, that our life will not be nearly as complicated and nearly as, his term, competitive, because it's competitive with the other things in our life that bring us down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. And, God, Mark, you're so good at that. You're so eloquent with that. And I want to get that book for you because I want you to read The Road Less Traveled. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for that. Breaking news, we're all looking forward to Florida State maybe playing Clemson today. Not going to happen. You knew that before I did, didn't you?
I guess it popped up on my phone a little while ago.
Yeah, they're not playing today. And so I guess Dabo and his guys will just entertain themselves in that big old – they got some kind of facility up there, Mark. Nobody's seen it. You want to look at it. But, Mark, thank you so much for that. That is so well spoken.
You know, Coach, I hope everybody takes a minute this week and give thanks. Thanksgiving's coming up, and we got a lot to be thankful for.
We do, and I hope we will take caution in what we do because, you know, we want to visit with our older family members. We got to be careful doing that. Be very, very careful. Let's follow the guidelines that our governor and our representatives have outlined for us and be smart. Wear that mask everywhere you go, wear it. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week.